So again, let us continue our story of Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, the transcendental knowledge. And transcendental knowledge is given by Krishna himself. Who can give transcendental knowledge? Dharmat Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. And this truth, in a sense about Krishna, his appearance and his activities, karma and leela. Karma means leela, activities means leela. Do you know what is the meaning of leela?
Drama.
Yes?
Drama, your activities.
Drama. Pastimes. Layate iti leela. You forget everything and become completely absorbed, and you are transported from this material world to the place of pastime of life. That is actually the meaning of leela. You understand the meaning of leela? You forget this time, space, and everything of this material world, and you are transported into the that leela. You are witnessing the leela, and you forget this world. That is the purpose of leela. The pastime of Supreme Lord Allah, nectarian. Amrit, Leela Amrit, Katha Amrit. Krishna Katha, Krishna Leela is Amrit, nectar. And it is Nitya, it is eternal. Knowing this truth, power is called Krishna consciousness is science, Krishna science. So this is Krishna science. You know, all the students in the school are not the candidate for science. You know, all the students in the school are not candidate for science. Only selected student, they take the science. So similarly, the selected among the transcendentalists, only devotees understand the Krishna science. Or they may be graduate also, BA graduate, maybe Brahmavadi, maybe say Jnani, maybe something Karmi, whatever he may be. But the only eligible people who can understand the Krishna science are devotees by definition given by Krishna himself. Bhaktya Mam Abhijana. Is it okay? Now we are reading next verse 10. This verse has three very important words. So let us start 4:10. So mad means you take out mad and put Krishna there. Because Krishna is speaking, he is saying to my nature, mad. So you put the word Krishna instead of mad, then you read what it looks like. Krishna Bhavam. And Krishna Bhavam means Krishna consciousness. We are Krishna Bhavana. We are Krishna Bhavan. Is it right? And this verse says you become Krishna Bhavan. Can you digest this? It's not here. It is in the book. Okay. Why are you hiding this from me? You cannot come front, Baba. Only few people have reserved seat on the back. You understand this technical way of preaching? You put the mom, you take the word mom and put Krishna, because Krishna is speaking mom, then word becomes Krishna Bhavana, which means Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is not invented by anybody, it is Krishna who is teaching us Krishna consciousness. Is it logical? You can accept it? To be Krishna conscious, it means to be Krishna conscious. Somebody has to do three things first. What are these? We means to give up. The first word is we means to give up. The second word vita? Vita means give up. What to give up? Raga. Vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. Raga, bhaya. Raga means attachment. Bhaya means fear. And krodha means anger. When somebody give up these three things, vita, raga, bhaya, these three things one has to give up, okay? And the fourth thing he has to do is manmaya maam aashriktaha. Can you see maam aashriktaha? Manmaya maam aashriktaha. Aashriktaha means taking complete shelter. Aashrit means one who is under shelter. Aashriktaha. And Srila Prabhupada has translated fully situated, being fully situated means under the protection of, under the shelter of. Ashrita means shelter. So these four things when we do, then what is the result? Not one, bahavo, many. Bahavo means many people. Gyan tapasya, by the penance and knowledge, by such transcendental knowledge, and by tapasya, they were purified, puta, they were purified. And they become Krishna conscious. So for becoming Krishna conscious, we have to purify. We have to purify by giving up three things and getting shelter of Krishna. And knowledge of Krishna with little astuti. Okay? Now these three words Prabhupada has explained in the purport. Vita, na, raga, bhaya and krodha. What is in Prabhupada's purport? Raga is too much attachment to the material sense enjoyment. Raga means too much materially engrossed in sense gratification that there is no interest in spiritual subject matter. Is it okay? And bhaya means fearful of a spiritual personality. Because they have concept of the personality, that my personality is very miserable. So after liberation, if you is still I am a person, it means it's very fearful, because I know it's very difficult. So such people who have a false conception that after liberation there is a spiritual personality, they are fearful, such people. That is the meaning of bhaya in this verse Prabhupada said. They are afraid of being a spiritual personality after liberation. What is their goal? Highest their philosophy is bubble on the water mixes with the water. That is their highest philosophy. This is impersonal philosophy. A drop falling into the ocean becomes ocean. So when you join Brahma Jyoti, you become Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada refutes this argument. Drop falls in the ocean, yes. But there are 900,000 species of aquatic in the ocean enjoying. They have not become ocean. Is it right? They are enjoying in the ocean. They have not become ocean. And if you, as a drop falling into the ocean, become ocean, then next day sun will evaporate you again up. Become a cloud, fall down in the mud and go back. You will continue your cycle. This is the argument to refute them. What I said is, if you are mixed with this ocean as a drop, you become ocean. But next day, sun will rise, then the same drop will evaporate up and become a cloud. Where can take birth, fall down, again become dirty, muddy river, go back to the ocean and come back. So again, still there is no end. So they are afraid of a spiritual personality of their own, and they are not able to accept Krishna's personality. Because they think, if Krishna is a person, then he must also be having suffering like us. Anger. They are knowledgeable. They have so many philosophies, right and left, and they are completely frustrated. They become angry. You are saying this, he is saying this, all this is nonsense. Nothing is there, everything is zero. Why is it? And Prabhupada said, such angry people take refuge in intoxication and they feel an hallucination for some time. This is all from the purport of Prabhupada of this verse. Is it okay? So for becoming Krishna conscious, many people in the past understood the tattva of Krishna's appearance and activities by knowledge, by austerities, by giving up attachment, by giving up fear of losing personality, by not getting frustrated by many philosophies, they attain to the Krishna consciousness. So, in the purport, all these things are very clear. You can see, read all bubbles in the purport. And the last thing, Prabhupada has written some word how. Prabhupada has given commentary on word how. So, you just come to the purport from below, second line. The third line is stuck. The last stage of devotional life is called bhava. You got it? Huh? From below. In small edition. The last stage of the devotional life is called bhava. Or transcendental love of Godhead. Why it's called last stage bhava? Why not prem, which is really the last stage? Why bhava Prabhupada is calling is the last stage of devotional service? We want Krishna prem. What do you think? Anybody can explain this point?
Well, next lesson is said that we love God for prem.
Yes? That is there. Then why Prabhupada said that this is the last stage of devotional service? The highest is prayer. But why this is called last stage?
To reach prema, that is the last step maybe after that. That is the last and final stage. After that, we are in that prema.
Okay, very good. And somebody else?
We bhava practice is required. And if you pass that bhava,
very good. Until bhava, you have to endeavor. After bhava, chetana mahaprabhu, chetana chaitanya, this verse, Krishna prema nitya siddha. Krishna prema is already completely mature and ready. Therefore, bhava is our endeavor. We have to work till bhava. Prema is already there. Then what will happen? Udaya. Udaya means prema will rise automatically. It will come out. Okay? Now, bhava is like dawn before sunrise. Before sunrise, there is a stars are gone. Little light is there. That is called bhava stage. And soon the Krishna prema will arise. Uday, uday means arise like sun rises. So we have to wait till the whole night of darkness, till the early dawn hours. Bhava is then endeavor. Then we discover last. Is it okay? Clear? And next, and then the Prabhupada quoted Bhaktivinoda Sindhu's these verses. And the last line, which is most important, this is the last portion. You read how these three words are explained by Srila Prabhupada. What is that? So, by slow process of devotional service, you got it?
Yes.
Under the guidance of bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being free from all material attachment, raga. From fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, bhaya. And from the frustration that results in white philosophy, anger. Can you see these three words? Then one can ultimately attend the abode of Supreme Lord. These three words, last night, they are the three words we talked by. These are talked by close. Okay? Next verse. Now Arjuna is asking this question, like here we have some commentary on this verse by Krishna Chakurtipa. Let's see this. This is verse 10. Not only that, the present time we can attend me just by knowing about the nature of my present body. But ancient times also, means Bhava Put. The people in the past also, they attend this stage. By what method? In previous kalpa, when I appeared, people attend me by knowing the nature of my personality. That is the purpose of this verse. It means before also, not only this time, any time I appeared, people also attend me. Then, regarding the meaning of jnana tapasya, Ramananda Acharya says they become purified by austerity of realizing about the nature of my birth and activities as previously stated. So here tapasya means, jnana tapasya means but realizing the knowledge of my birth and activities, there is jnana tapasya. Realizing the knowledge, realizing the knowledge about my birth and activities. Such wise person has given up attachment to or affection part persons who speak nonsense ideas with raga. They are not attachment to the materially motivated people. My devotees have no fear of them, not anger towards them. This is the Vishwanath Chakravarti's explanation of these words. The Prabhupada has the different, little different definition. You understand this too. Why? Because they are preoccupied with meditating on me, on thinking of, hearing and singing about my birth and activities. Man Maya. They attend prayer for me, Madhubhavan. They don't have a time really to be fearful of anybody or afraid of anybody because they are busy only in singing my glories and chanting my pastimes. So they don't have a time for all these things. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti's path's mood. So now we are verse 11 onwards. So first portion was over. Krishna is the goal of all paths and creator of one ashram system. What deed is this? Radharama. Let us read this verse.
Ye yathamam prapadyante tam satyeva bhajamyaham mam vartamano varasamite manushya bhava sarvasya.
Very good.
I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects.
Okay, this is what the verse says. What this picture says, yogis are also following my path and devotees are also following my path, but they have a different desires, therefore I reciprocate differently to them. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti is asking a question. Suppose your dedicated devotee considers your birth and activities to be eternal, but others such as gyanis surrendering to you for purpose of perfecting jnana and other goals do not consider your birth and activities to be eternal. There are people, all the Mayavadis, gyanis, they say Krishna appears here out of his Maya and then it is Maya. He is under the mode of goodness, something like that. What about those? And Krishna's answer is, in whatever way they worship me, prapadyante, I also give them the fruit of their worship, bhajami, in an appropriate manner. Meaning of this is, those who think that my birth and activities are eternal and having particular desire for those pastimes worship and please me, and I, because I am the Lord, can respond or not respond, or respond in a different way, then they expect. But making them my associate, I appear and disappear with them in this world at the appropriate time in order to give my birth and pastime their eternal nature. Favoring them at every moment, I bestow upon them the fruit of their worship. Can you understand this language? This is Krishna's answer. For my devotees, I give them glimpses sometimes, and therefore they are like, you just think of this Bhagavad Gita, Amasir Bhagavatam, Narada explaining to Vyasa after Bhaktivinoda explained me in 4 months of Chaturmasya, and I saw within my heart Supreme Lord. And then he disappeared. So I appear, and my sweet will, I appear. And then I not wanted to see it again, and the only voice said, you are not mature, a pakwa, you are not mature. And Kashmala, still there are so many designs, please purify. So in this way, Lord reciprocated with devotees by giving some glimpses in life, all of us who are in devotional service, some time in chanting, some time in hearing, some time in having darshan of the Lord, we get sort of very ecstatic feelings that we can never forget. That is what he appears sometimes in a different, in his holy name, in his holy pastime, in his divine deity form. Sometimes he appears to the devotees and he attracts them so much that they cannot leave him. That's what it means. So he reciprocates in this world, not after death. That's what the very beauty of the Bhagavad Dharma is. Not that we will go to Krishna when we die, then go. No. Neither we leave the home and meditate in the Himalaya, then we will get Krishna. Right in this life, where we are, if we simply seek eagerly to hear about Him and chant His holy name, He is right there. Tishtami, Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Madhavakta. Where my devotees glorify me, I manifest myself. This verse is very important verse sometime, and it's not for your this Bhakti Shastri, but for your knowledge. This is the verse Krishna was reflecting on in Goloka Vrindavan. Yejithamam prapadyante tamstate bhajamyam ko. Where the people surrender my reciprocate. I never reciprocated to the gopis the way they surrendered to me. This was Krishna's debit. Krishna was paying himself, reflecting on this verse and thinking, I never reciprocated with the gopis the way they reciprocated. They have given up their all social custom, family, children, husband, wife, everything, and middle of the night they were running for me and crying to me. When I reciprocated and celebrated to them, thinking like this, Krishna, to repay gopis, appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyas, and like the gopis, he was wandering and crying for Krishna. So this verse is one of the impetus Krishna was reflecting. So that is the highest realm of this verse for us to understand. Is it okay? Now, Chakravarti Pad is guiding further. Therefore, not only devotees surrender to me, but rather everyone, sarvacha, all men, jnanis, karmis, yogis, and worshippers of jnan, karma, and other processes are on my path. Since I am the sense of all those paths. This is the next verse we've got now. So, what is in the purport? Srila Prabhupada is giving the Yajanamam Prapadyante Tamstate Bhajamyam. why all people are, still people are not surrendering you when you reciprocate with them, you give them what they want, but still people are not coming to you? This may be the question asked by Arjuna. Then Krishna is answering, because they have material desires. And therefore they go and worship. Verse 12. Let's read verse 12.
Kaṁśantah karmanāṁ siddhim yajante iya devatā shikipraṁ hi manusha loke siddhir bhavati karamjāṁ.
So, kaṁśantah karmanāṁ siddhim. Kaṁśantah, desiring success in their fruitive activities. People worship Iya Devata, here, this material world, demigods of this material world. And quickly they get the result. Now who are the... First, Srila Prabhupada has described something which this morning we have put in our difference between the Lord and Jiva. And Tulsi Manjari, you said something that Prabhupada has put here first. God is one and Jivas are unlimited. That's what Prabhupada has put in the purport in this verse. So, people have a misconception about demigods. They think they are the parts of the body of the Lord. They think demigods are the different forms of the Lord. This is a misconception. Not you may, the Western people may not have, but India, people say all the demigods are different forms of the God. All the demigods are the different forms of the God. Prabhupada is very nice in saying they are not different parts of the Lord, but they are the different part and parcel of the Lord. God is one. Nitya Nityanam. He is one, he is eternal. But Jivas are many. They are empowered, delegated with power, demigods. But no demigod is... Anybody who thinks demigods are equal to God is called Atheist or Pashandri. This may be your same question, Pashandri. What is Pashandri? See Pashandri word? In purport, can you see the word Pashandri? This may be definition. What is Pashandri? Anyone who thinks God and the demigods are on the same level is called Pashandri. And then there are a few lines as well. Did you find it?
No.
Prabhupada, as you can say. Sir, I am
Krishna. Anyone
who thinks God? Pashandri. No? Prabhupada of verse 12. Maybe some 10 lines, the 9th or 10th line.
11th.
11th line. Atheist and Pashandri. Okay? Then the next thing here is interesting. The two words, anthropomorphism and zoomorphism. Not only really bona fide demigods, people worship the man as a god and demigod. People worship man and man as a god and demigod. And who are the gods of this material world? Ministers. People go and worship them to get their things done. quickly. Movie stars.
So,
and that is for different purpose. Minister for different purpose. Then the athletes and all these are their heroes. But their gods are now for the minister. You go to the minister and get some benefit and anything. They have got everything in this world. So in this world, people worship men as God. Why? Because they need some material benefits. See, last line of Prabhupada, just put this verse. Can you find this verse, last line? This verse indicates that people are really interested in Krishna consciousness. People are really interested in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because they are mostly interested in material enjoyment. Now, what is the difference between worshipping Krishna and worshipping demigod? What is the difference? Will Krishna not fulfill the desire? Krishna
is fulfilling only the right desires.
Krishna is only fulfilling the right desires, okay?
And if you worship the demigod, Krishna is fulfilling that desire because he is in the power.
Even if you worship the demigod, Krishna is functioning authority. It's okay.
Krishna fulfills the need of the demigod, not the want.
Krishna fulfills the needs, not the wants. Okay?
Whatever he fulfills, that is that.
Whatever?
Whatever he needs, you know, that is that. Whatever he needs, the food or the food, that is that. Not that.
Krishna's blessings are eternal, demigod's blessings are temporary. Maybe sometime we can have a brainstorm on this also. Worshipping Krishna and worshipping demigod, what is the difference? Krishna also fulfilled desire of the devotee, yes. But in the process of fulfilling desire, Krishna purifies the desire. By the time desire is fulfilled, devotee don't want it. That is Dhruva Maharaj. That is Dhruva Maharaj. You understand? Krishna fulfilled desire of the devotee, yes. But in the process of fulfilling desire, he purified the desire. By the time desire is fulfilled, no need of that desire ever exists. And preaching, I give one example on this. You have 5-year-old child. It is December. Child has cough and running nose. And he has 50 rupees note in his hand. If he goes to the ice cream parlor and he asks for ice cream, will the ice cream parlor give or not? He'll take the money and give. Will he think that by this ice cream the cold will be more severe, he will get pneumonia? Will he think that like that? So just give it, right? Same child, if he asks his father, I want to help get ice cream, my mama, papa, give me ice cream, what will father say? No. Now you take medicine, bitter medicine. Who is actually child likes ice cream parlor wala? But who is really thinking good of the child? Father. Father wants him ice cream in December. But he will bring a cartoon of ice cream in January, in June. And all refrigerator is full of ice cream. Eat as much as you like when you are healthy. That's what Krishna will do. You won't give it when you are sick, but you will give it when you are in a good condition. You understand what the difference between the two? So this is common people's understanding. The demigod worship is like giving ice cream to the child who may suffer, he don't worry, he's not worried. He said, you pay him, that's it. But Krishna is like a father. He is a father. He never gives something which is harmful for us. He only gives that sense to us when it is beneficial.
And you may give father some, when you give the father some money, but he doesn't care who you because he gave the money in the first place.
Sorry?
The child can give the father some money, try to buy that again. But the father already gave the money to the child, so now he doesn't care.
That's it. Yeah, that is your independence. You have some money as a pocket money, you can misuse it for ice cream. That's a human form of life. You have some little independence. But my father will not allow that. That's what the point is. Is it okay? People worship demigods. Many are demigod worship. Very less people are entered in Krishna mind. Therefore, we should not be. What is the word of which I can use? We should not be hopeless if we get only one or two devotees when we preach. Now, go to the preface and last line of the preface. Read the line, last line of preface and see the mood of Prabhupada. One man become a pure devotee of the Lord, we shall consider our attempt a success. Can you see this line, read this line? So we should be really very, we should have a passion, and one devotee is coming, no problem. It's very, very nice. And you can see, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita not to the 100 million people on microphone and giving big parvachan. He is speaking only one to one Arjuna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for 10 days to only one person, Rupa Goswami. Not many saintly person living at Prayagraj. Prabhupada was speaking 2 hours, one person coming and he was almost half crazy, but still Prabhupada was preaching. And the only thing that you read. Can you understand? So the hope is that if one person becomes Krishna conscious, you are devoted, our labor is success. That's, it means even less person are interested. Krishna sided with 5 Pandavas, not with 100 Kauravas. If you are less in number, it doesn't matter. 500 blind men together cannot see sun. What is it? I am not only one, we have 500 blind men. Can 500 blind men say there is no sun, you believe? Huh? One man with eyes says sun, we will believe. 100, 500 blind men say there is no sun, nobody will believe. So that's what it is like. So you should be hopeful if you get 1, 2, 3 devotees. And genuine devotees, you should feel that you are satisfied. You are doing a great service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the least people are interested see, other example is, how many people go to the gold or diamond shop every day? And how many people are going to the vegetable market every day? Everyone will go to vegetable market every day, but diamond only once a while. We have actually Krishna consciousness in something like this is a precious diamond business. So you may get rare customers, but they are genuine customers. And you care for them. Sabziwala never bother you to buy or don't buy. But Jamwala is very respectful to the gentleman. He's going to come to the shop and he takes care of him perfectly. Because he said, this person who entered into the shop, it means he afford to buy the jam. So you care for them. Is it okay? So this is statement of Prabhupada is these people are interested in Krishna consciousness. But still, we should be hopeful. Now, who is responsible for these people to have different desires? Somebody wants to merge in Brahma, somebody wants to go to the demigod to get son, to get money, to get house, to get wife, and somebody wants to become a great mystic yogi and show the many miracles to the world. Who is responsible for that? Is Krishna responsible for that? Is Krishna responsible for that? But he says, I am responsible, I am reciprocating with everybody. On what basis? On what ground? What is that criteria? Is Krishna responsible for all these things? No. Like, is rain responsible for all vegetation? Now all around you see green things. Is rain responsible for that? They cannot be without rain. But rain is not responsible for whose vegetation is where. Whatever seed is there, that will be there. It's not rain's fault. You know, rain is necessary for vegetation, but rain is not responsible for vegetation. Is it clear? Prabhupada is giving this example. So Krishna is there necessary for fulfilling everything, but he is not responsible for everybody. Why they are desiring this? Is it clear? Then who is responsible?
Chatur Varanyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhavasha Sasya Kartaram Abhimam Vidya Kartaram Abhyayam.
It is according to the different modes of nature and different qualities acquired by the people, they have different desires. The governing factor is Varnashram. And who is the creator of Varnashram? Krishna is the creator of Varnashram, but he is not part of Varnashram. So this was that's a good exercise we'll do on this, I hope. So this is what Prabhupada is speaking about Varnashram. Prabhupada is speaking this in Bombay, 74. Somebody should read.
Therefore it is very essential to understand this verse, Chaturvarnyam, train a class of men. There must be initiative where brain is properly utilized. Here is a child or here is a boy. He has good intelligence. Train him as Brahmana. Less than that, train him as Kshatriya. Train him as Vaishya. Everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no difficulty. So if you actually want happiness, prosperity of the society, not only of this society, that whole human society, they must accept this Krishna consciousness movement and then they will be happy.
Which verse we are? Verse 13.
Indeed, the paths of bhakti and jnana give liberation, but the path of karma leads to bondage. Therefore, there is some inequality in you, the creator of all paths, the supreme law.
This is the question asked by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Suppose Arjun says like this, okay, jnanis can go to the Brahma Jyoti and bhakt can go to Goloka Dham or Vaikuntha, but karmis, they will go. They will come back here because they have desires. So it means you are not responding equally to everybody. So who is responsible? That's the question. Then the answer given by the Supreme Lord. Yes.
It is not so at all. I have created the four varnas for people who want their own journey. The suffix ya in the word chaturvarna indicates self-interest in the four varnas.
Self-interest means people and karma. I have not put them in there, those. They have chosen this. And this is the definition of the four varnas. Who will read this?
So one is a material varna system, one is
you know, the perverted Varnas system which is existing right now, which is really big. There are many, yes ma'am.
So in the Varnashram system, we see the Shudras as helpful. For the, like everyone has a role and there's nothing which is like better. Everyone is doing a part of the deal,
mm-hmm.
like part of the work of Krishna. But in the caste system, the Dalits, or the lower ones, they're looked very much down upon and they cannot even get a job. It's, like now they have like teacher for now, they can get into schools and all this because they have a special program. But before it was impossible, they were, you know, like treated like animals on the farm, they were sent to school, it was really very bad. It still is in some villages, but so in the Varnashram system everyone has their role and is more accepted.
Have another flow chart and let's put Raja, what is the similarity and what are the differences? Let him put down things. Tomorrow somebody should clear this and paste somewhere that anybody wants to refer it afterward in the flow chart. So one. Say casteism on one side, casteism and other side, varnashram. What is the difference? So I am opening this section. Caste system is man-made, varnashram is God-made. I am opening for you. Now you start. Varnashram is God-made, caste system is man-made. Yes, our Swamil.
Caste system is birth-based.
Caste system is based on birth. And Varnashram is based on guna and karma. Very good.
Qualification.
Same, okay.
Qualification.
Sorry?
Qualification.
Qualification, guna, karma, qualification. Karma means qualification here. On the guna and karma, karma means qualification. Whatever their tendencies are. So, natural propensities.
So in Varnashram everyone has their accepted role and caste system. If you're in the lower caste, you're looked down.
So the wording should be Varnashram has a prescribed format while the caste system has an upper and let's say a high and low mentality, interpersonal dealing.
Based on exploitation.
But casteism is based on the more mainly exploitation.
Based on cooperation.
Okay. Casteism is motivated by exploitation and the Varnashram is by cooperation. That's very nice. Somebody has added something?
Varnashram is from spiritual goal.
The aim of Varnashram is ultimately spiritual advancement. While caste system is simply it's simply material. Varnashram ultimately is for the spiritual advancement, while caste system is materially motivated. Something more? Ashrams are not in caste system.
If one follows one ashram, the idea gets spiritual.
Okay, and?
Nothing happens in the caste system.
By following one ashram, person will be elevated. By following caste system, nothing happens.
Well, what they do is that if you are good, you know, like a hard worker, you will take birth at higher caste next life. So there is some progress in next life.
Their degradation.
Okay, that's good.
Nothing happens. Some people happen.
Something will happen
next life.
What should be the word? They will be advanced and caste system. Anyway, put something in it. This is not Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying that cannot be changed. It can be changed at any time.
Duality is hatred.
Sorry?
The opposite to that is duality is hatred.
Casteism is a hatred, and one ashram system has
purification.
Respect or something like this. So what are the similarities and what are the differences actually? Still we have to work on this a little bit. What do you think? Holding it for a while. How the Western people can be convinced by what? How can you convince the Western people on Varnashram? Or just we are holding it for a while. What technical things you will tell that they will accept this?
Classes are already there. It's already there. Workers, aristocrats, intellectuals.
Very good. This is what Prabhupada has a talk in Russia and in Moscow with Professor Kotovatsky. And this is the talk of Prabhupada's first time when I read over 30 years back. I was convinced about Krishna consciousness, the way Prabhupada is presented. In any country, in any part of the world, in any human society, always there is government, there is army, there is businessmen, there is farmer. Is it there or not? The technical word for that is the one who is sitting in the assembly as a member of parliament and making the rules, are the professors who are teaching to the student, they are technically called Brahmanas. Those who are the military men, are the police, are the administrator, they are called kshatriyas. Those who are doing business, dairy business, farm business, trading business, they are called vaishyas. And those who are laborers, they are working, they are called shudras. These are the only technical words, but whole world has all these words. It is acceptable in Hong Kong if you say like this. What about China? They have army? And they have king also?
No.
Something is there as a parliament, something? Okay. They have also businessmen? And they have workers also? So that's how the world is. What is the problem?
They will say they're all equal.
No?
They all equal in the West.
Everybody has to work. Brahman has to work also. I have to teach 2 hours. This is a work. It's not I'm doing work.
In the West, the soldiers are being worshipped. Like the stars, they're
perfect.
They're going to worship
them. So all the Kshatriyas should be worshipped. Kshatriyas always were heroes. They were given a big place, all facilities. But they should not be any more enjoying spirit, they should have protective. You know, Kshatri, what Kshatri means? This chhata, you are taking chhata is chhata, which protects from Kshatri. Kshatri means from any harm, anything which is harming you, they protect from that. So Kshatri is a protecting, this Kshatriya, like the umbrella, they protect you. Now, Prabhupada has a very nice explanation of all this. And from Bhagavatam, in this body, brain is Brahman. The 2 arms are Kshatriyas. The abdomen is Vaishya. And the whole half lower part of the body is Shudra. This whole lower part of the body carries the all three.
Head is carried by the legs, belly is carried by the leg, arms, the weight is borne by leg. All three ones are served by the fourth one. Brahman needs workers to help him to bring the wood for the yajna, to print the books for the shastra. They need assistance also. Kshatriya needs the workers for making the arms and ammunition, for transporting all those. Vaishya need workers, so all these three need workers. Nobody is cutting their leg. Are we disrespecting our legs? Human body, are we disrespecting legs? No. I used to say, you may not have a cap on the head, but you must have a shoes. So we protect the legs more than the head. You must have a shoes, you may not have a head. So Brahman is ready for tapasya. But shoes are so weak that he needs shoes all the time. You understand what I'm saying? This is tapasya. Head is so small as compared to the rest of the body. Even head has some stretching, hand has to do, head cannot do. So protection of Brahman has to be done by Kshatriya. Even leg, that is thorn, the hand has to take out. Head cannot take it out. And this abdomen, brain should think, hand should work, but they have to feed this. Because he can supply everybody energy. So Vaish, he gives charity to the Brahman, he gives tax to the Kshatriya, and he gives salary to the Shudras. So he is maintaining free. He is the only one who is earning. The abdomen is only eating all gulam down and rasgulam, but is giving to the brain energy, is giving the strength to the arms, and he's maintaining the legs very powerful to carry the whole body. In the world you may have seen the people without leg still they survive. You may see the people with cut arms still they survive, but you can never see the person without head. And also not without belly. No belly, no person. What do you think?
In Ayurveda, I explain how in the old days that they did head transplants.
Lord Shankar is the first person who had transplanted the head of a goat on his father-in-law Daksha. And after this successful experiment, he transplanted the head of elephant on his own son Ganesh. So he's the first head transplant. There is a one person without head.
Rahu.
Mohini Murthy cut the head because he drank the nectar, therefore still his body is alive. Rahu is there.
He is the body.
He has only head. So he is still some breath. Because he's intelligent, he got the nectar, so he was intelligent. So he is not head. So then Hare Krishna.
I'm killing up.
There I was thinking, why you are suffering? Your job is there still, we have to do this. But you are not relishing it. So now in the world, all over the world, there are laborers, China, we are workers, give us all rights. Laborers are all over the world. They have a strike. They want their salary increased every time. Otherwise they strike. There are Vaishnavas all over the world doing business. May not be doing white business, may be doing black business, but they are doing business. I used to say there are capitalists and communists in the whole world. Capitalists are the Vaishnavas and the communists are the Shudras. There is no Kshatriya and no Brahman, therefore the whole world is in chaotic situation. There is no head. That's what Prabhupada's whole strategy is. We can see this now. The human life is only meant for tattva jigyasa. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. To understand the absolute truth, that requires Brahmanical culture, not the dead brain of Shudra and Chandalas. They cannot understand. Therefore, there must be an institute to educate a Brahman, to educate Kshatriya. Prabhupada said, I started Krishna conscious movement path. He gave me Brahmanas. Because world don't have Brahman. To educate Kshatriya, that is required. Chaturvarna Maya system. If you don't do it, if you simply produce Shudras, bold, nut, manufacturers, technicians, then how can you be happy? Shudra, this is the business of the Shudra. This is not business of Brahman. You keep Shudra, but there must be Brahmans also. This is Prabhupada's mood. Just like leg is also required, the brain is also required. You cut the leg, simply keep the brain, that is also defective. And if you cut the brain, then everything is finished. This is going on. There is no Brahman, there is no Kshatriya, there is no Vaishya, only Shudra. So how you can be happy? This is what Prabhupada is giving some lecture. Therefore, it is very essential to understand this verse, Chaturvarnya. Training class of men, everyone required. There is intelligent class of men, but their brain is being misused, and intelligent man is being taught technology, how to manufacture a machine. This is Shudra's business. This is Shudra's business. Misuse brain, misuse. There must be university where brain is properly utilized. There is a child or there is a boy. He has good quiet intelligence. Train him as a Brahman. Less than that, train him as a Kshatriya. Train him as a Vaishya. That's what Prabhupada's mood. We should establish one ashram society based on the tendency and propensity of the students in the beginning, in the classroom. Without, now it's still the rulers, they are extracting taxes. Vaishyas cannot stop giving tax to the government. Government is getting tax or bribe, but they are getting their share. The workers are getting their share as a daily paycheck, a weekly paycheck, monthly paycheck, as a salary. Only Brahmins are not getting their share as a donation. Therefore, Brahminical culture is dwindling. The Vaishya has to give to the poor. But the Brahmins, they are not greedy, they don't need it. And therefore, they never, like Shudra, they never did a strike. Will not teach your children if you don't give. They never say anything. But the society is not taking care of the Brahmins. That is the problem of the modern society. No head, no head, no direction, everything is topsy-turvy. So Srila Prabhupada's mood about this one ashram is everything there is there in Bhagavad Gita. There's no difficulty. So if you actually want happiness, prosperity in the society, not only of this society, this Indian society, that whole human society, they must accept this Krishna conscious movement and then they will be happy. That ends this one section of not our usual unit, but some other unit. But there are only two or three lectures and four chapters there. This we have done this morning?
Yes.
But we have to do some more, two more verses. So where are chapter one name is clear? There any questions? Yes.
Can I ask one ashram system in our Krishna consciousness movement? Because in our Krishna consciousness movement, Sri Prabhupada said we have to pick have these devotional service groups like Ramana. So we are now also trying to establish Vanashram system, but at the same time we see our society. How do we divide the work? Some of them, they are devotees, they are Brahmins, they are very intelligent, but at the same time they may engage themselves in the work of sutra. They may also engage themselves in cleaning, they may also they may have Brahmana quality, but they may be grihastha, they will make money outside. So how do we divide?
There was a small booklet, very, I think, quite early, over 25 years back, was printed, Prabhupada and Varnashram, and it was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was speaking every day about Varnashram, and then Prabhupada said, I am teaching you to sweep the floor of temple, doesn't make me Shudra. Prabhupada giving example. Oh, I am producing books, we are selling books, translated, it doesn't make me veg. And then Prabhupada wanted that we should have a Kshatriya class, but there was nothing like that. Even at some time Prabhupada unofficially allowed some people to have political contact and bring in God, we trust some party in America in earlier days. There was some candidate, but then Prabhupada said it's too much training and not much results coming. Let us first preach and make many people devoted, and then we can change the system. So your answer to your question is, this is very, this is really under lot of more research right now. In ISKCON now, tendency is I should get Brahminical initiation. This is some one tendency general. But the Brahminical initiation is only necessary for those who are doing in deity worship, are preaching, and is studying Shastra. But there is no need for anybody else to take Brahminical initiation. Then the other we need, and I personally, many devotees when we recruit, if I see that this devotee is bold, energetic, active, commanding, then let us train him as our own kshatriya. Why to hire in a temple over 100,000 rupees worth of security outside lousy people just sitting there smoking? Why not devotees do their job? Why can't we have our own security? When Bombay temple was attacked in the early days, Nana Ras Bihari, the Gundas came there to really take the deity out from the temple. No guard and security will be there to protect that. But there was a devotee, one American Mataji. She was holding on the deity like this, and people were pulling her hairs, and she was not letting deity to go, and she never allowed them to touch the deity. We need, this is Kshatriya spirit. So we need our own Kshatriyas.
For example, Prabhuji, if the Brahmanas are on the same case, so what do you think? They can leave the deity? For example, this same situation comes by the Brahmanas in the altar.
But they were Brahman, they are left.
There was a case.
Parshuram became a Kshatri, but usually the Brahmana left the Somnath temple and when Muhammad Ghazali took all the gold and ornament and money from them. Brahmanas are not meant to fight. The only fight is there's emergency.
There are so called Brahmanas, like caste system Brahmanas.
Not otherwise Brahman is non-violent. That's what the standard is. Only in emergency, Brahman can act as a Kshatriya under very emergency conditions. That's what the Shastra said. Under emergency conditions. But there are such Brahmans known. But usually, I'm saying, when there was an earthquake in Latur, in India, and Radha Gopinath temple is on first floor in Chopati.
Next day Raghunath Maharaj asked, so who was with the deities when there was earthquake? Everybody said, nobody. Everybody ran out of the building outside because earthquake will save yourself. But who was with the deities? He asked this question. So, the king of Jaipur, the kings of the Jaipur always great devotees. They always remained great devotees in old days. They took the Radha Govind Devji, still they are presiding there in the palace. So when King of Jaipur was invited by British to participate in conference, he said, I will only come in a new ship, not a used ship. So British sent them new ship. Then he said, I will take still some time because I will take my own Ganga water with me, which I will drink. See? So he got two silver big, say 200-500 liter silver pot, he got it made. And he filled with Ganga water and then he boarded on the ship. Still you go in Jaipur Museum, you will find those big silver pots there. They are still there. Then in the middle of the ocean there was a big cyclone and people said, Maharaj, ship is in dangerous situation. He said, close my doors. I am sitting with Radha Govind Devji. Don't disturb me. Whatever happens, let it happen. If this cyclone is over, then open the door and talk with me. He did not say, get me out from here, let Radha Govind sit here. No, that is Kshatriya. He is Kshatri. Then I am here with Radha Govind. He took his deeds with him. And I said, so whatever he was worshipping. So this is Kshatriya. They are ready to die. But they will not. But this is a inch back. So we need to train our own Kshatriya for protection of our own temple. Why would we pray to somebody else? We are giving all the front shop of Vrindavan was given to the outside people for doing business. Our property people are earning. Why can't devotees who have a business mentality or who has a business tendency or who is a Kshatriya by his nature, why they should not be trained to do this for the business, for the temple? We need really. At this stage, in the middle, we cannot start right here where we are, but from these children we can start if we start Varnashram education. From 5 plus, if you get the. That was the whole motto. Prabhupada said, I have left half work done. So this Varnashram Institute, we have to. Right now, Afghanistan has only one motto, Brahman initiation. That's all. I may do anything, but I need to learn Brahman initiation. So this is something we have to understand, how to apply this in our own society. We need good businessmen to do business and give profit to the temple and maintain themselves also. They should have a share of the. Still, you know, all these temples in the Vrindavan, 7 temples, they have many followers all over India. They keep a share in their business of Gopinath share, Govindavari share, Damodar, Radha Damodar share. At the end of the year, they bring the share of the deities and give to the temple. If we have Vaishnavas as our congregation and they keep a share of the deity in their business, then we have not to go out and collect. We simply go out and preach. Yeah, so there's a need of this system to institute at certain stage. Still, we are too young as a society. So many sincere people are working on this one ashram system to be practical. We don't have still like ashram is also, we have Brahmachari ashram, which is actually unmarried ashram. Really speaking, and Brahmachari means from 5 years you train them as a Brahmachari. They are coming at the age of 25. So where is the Brahmachari? So this is, and we have Sannyas ashram. But we have Grihastha ashram, but we don't have a Vanaprastha ashram yet. A devotee who is dedicating his life for 5 years to the movement, when he retires, we don't have any place for him. So we are too young society. It takes time for all these things to come in. So you are doing this Bhakti Shastri, you are understanding this scripture. Wherever you go, try to make these things happen in future. Maybe second generation, third generation should accomplish all these things in future. So we have to go a long way. Okay?
Because Prabhupada, he wanted, he was training Vaishnavas. So I was just trying to put Vaishnavas into the tree of Varaha.
So this is Prabhupada here, and in this said, Vaishnavas are above Brahmanas. They are beyond caste system.
So then he was not trying to create Brahmanas, he was trying to create
Vaishnavas. That was Prabhupada at the end in 1977 in Mayapur. He said, I was always saying like this, but we need Varna Ashram system. If they are not trained, their Vaishnavism is quite superficial and they just sunk down back. He saw most of the things in his 10, 11 years time. He wanted to have Devi Varna Ashram system, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj wanted to have. So he wanted to have it in last days. That what some devotees said. He said, I always preach like that. Vaishnavas are always higher than Brahman. There's no doubt about that. Because Brahman is a caste system, this Vaishnava is beyond that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, instead of taking a Babaji ways, he accepted sannyas. Why? He said, I want to stay in one ashram system. I don't want to match with Gaurakishordasi Babaji or Bhakti Vinod Thakur or Jagannathdas Babaji, because they were beyond Varnas. But we have to work within Varna Ashram in Kali Yuga. And this is just what his mood was. So same thing Prabhupada, in the last days he was saying, Varna Ashram, and unless we have Varna Ashram, how can we have a self-sufficient community if we don't have Varna Ashram? If there's no cultivator, is there's nobody to till the field, then from where the Vaishnava will eat ultimately? So, and there's a lot of debate on this in the last year, this year, not last year, not this year. This year in Mayapur, almost every seminar was on Varna Ashram and something, most of the things were just on Varna Ashram. Now this is like a buzzword in this kind of Varna Ashram, Devi Varna Ashram, self-sufficient farm communities. Prabhupada did say that time will come, so people will not have to eat. There will be no jobs. And at that time, if you have your own land and you know how to grow your food, then you will survive. You have your cows, then you can drink your milk. Otherwise, you starve. The time, if petrol stops today, whole world will come to stand still. It's like the blood of the whole world now. Like blood is circulating in the body, you take out the blood, person dies. So petrol is circulating in the whole economy of the world. You take out of the petrol, everything just collapses. Certain part of the world cannot survive 1 month because they are getting every day by steamers for eating. No petrol, no steamer. Then what will they do? They stop producing anything. So this is a big challenge in the future. Anyway, there's a lot of discussion, this is not part of it, but Varna Ashram is established by Krishna, that's our topic. So next verse is, Krishna is saying, I have created Varna Ashram, that's alright. But I am not part of the Varna Ashram. Therefore Prabhupada has written here, but you are saying Vaishnava Prabhupada has put Vaishnava and the purport of the verse chapter as verse 13. In other words, a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious, includes knowledge of all different planetary expansion of Lord Krishna, Ram, Narasimha, Varaha. And Krishna is transcended to the system of four divisions of human society. A person in Krishna consciousness also transcendental to all divisions of human society. Whether we consider the divisions of community, nation or species. So that is the highest understanding. So now verse 14, Krishna is speaking. Namam karmani nipamati name karma paleshvara iti manyo abhijanati karma virna sabbhasyate. Translation.
one who understands the truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reaction to God.
So, Krishna says, I am working, but I am not affected by the work. So anybody who knows this will also not be affected by work, this work. Is a simple translation is like this? Is it right? How is that? And Papa Srila Prabhupada is explaining like king is not under the law of his own kingdom. So Krishna is not under the law of this material world. This is Prabhupada's explanation simply by this example. The last part of the Prabhupada, can you see the... In other words, a person who understands this transcendental nature of Lord, is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness. And thus, he is never subjected to law of karma. So to understand Krishna, that he is not affected, he will not be affected. How Krishna is not affected is an example I already gave of the rain and vegetation Prabhupada has given in the last part of the first paragraph of the Prabhupada. Okay, this is, you found this example? Rain and vegetation, and anyone who is fully conversant can find the prophet?
Yes.
Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma or fully active does not become affected by the result of these activities. So how we will not be affected if we know Krishna is not affected? This is something needs to be understood. The last verse of this section is evam gyatva kritam karma purvayami mukti purvayami tasvatvam purvayami. Translation.
All the liberated souls in the ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps.
So, now Krishna is concluding this fire portion. That previously many people, they were knowing that since I am not affected by the karma, by knowing that they also acted and they were not affected, so you should do the same thing. So Krishna is giving him example like this. The Prabhupada said there are two classes of men. Can somebody read the beginning of the paragraph?
There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equal beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can escape from the line of Krishna consciousness for gradual instant process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of their impurities may continue to act as within Krishna consciousness, so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby remain.
Foolish persons
are neophytes in Krishna consciousness, often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
Okay, since what is this? Foolish persons are neophytes in Krishna consciousness, often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna desires retirement, but this is not the Krishna wants them to work. By knowing Krishna is not affected, he is working for Krishna, he will not be affected even by fighting. I think we end it here. Yeah, this class is a little similar, but it's okay, we'll do the rest tomorrow.